Iris.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. And hi, everyone. Welcome to Girl We Have to Talk podcast. And today is a question episode.
Yay.
Okay. Do you have anything that you want to talk about, or am I jumping right into the question?
So many things, but no, let's jump into the question.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So the question, title is, what is wrong with me?
Everything. Everything is wrong with you. Yeah.
I have been with my significant other for 11 years, lived together for 10, been married for 4. If you met us, you would say that we have a great marriage. And we do. House, cars, cute dog, no kids, but we're working on adopting. I work while they are in school for the past 2 years. My significant other is the nicest person you could ever meet. No kidding. Loyal, funny, sweet, giving, protective, and genuinely in love with me. Sex is good, but not as frequent as we would both like. But we communicate well about it. Sounds great, right? So why can't I stop thinking about being in a relationship with someone else? Not cheating and not anyone specific, just a generic person that I meet in the future. This started 2 years ago. We had some rocky times, but in the past year, we went to therapy and have put in the effort to make things better, and things should be good. But my mind wanders. Why can't I be happy? So judge me hardly, internet people. But keep it constructive. I don't want to leave. I want to be happy with what I have, like I used to be. So that's our question.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This is so interesting, considering what I feel like is a theme I have with clients and in my own life, which is, why is it such a narrow field of what is okay in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. This is going to be a radical thing to say, but I don't know if we're all meant to fit in that monogamy box forever and ever and ever.
Sure. I think that there's lots of people who are, you know, not monogamous and prefer to be.
And even just for periods, like, you could be monogamous like most of your life, but maybe there's 5 minutes or 10 years where that just doesn't fit.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's definitely a strong possibility here too. But like, I think my perspective is probably a little bit different. I don't really think that she is saying she wants to be like dating somebody else. I think,
I totally agree too. I'm just saying, like, I think some of this is because we assume like a specific way that relationships have to be. And in monogamy includes, some people consider monogamy including not thinking about other people outside the relationship. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. And so, like, I think that that is what I think is, you know, normal. I don't think that, you know, for me, I don't think, and this is just like my own definition and other people might disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's not normal to be like, oh man, like, I wonder what it'd be like if I married a millionaire and like didn't have kids and, you know, like lived on a boat. Like, that's normal. I think most people think about stuff like that. It's just like, you think about if you had another job, or like, what if you ate something different? I mean, it's just like one of those things.
What if you lived in a different place?
Yeah. It's just like literally one of those things that, you know, people wonder about. And I'm sure too, because like, it sounds like they had some rocky times and it was just a year ago. Of course you don't feel like, in my opinion, 100%, because, you know, there's still some worry, I'm sure, that something else could happen in the future.
Sure.
And so like, there's probably a little bit of worry in there. But what I would say is, it sounds like it's perfectly normal. And I think that the only thing is, like, what the person's asking is, you know, how can I stop thinking about this? And I think that you probably won't. And maybe what would be the better answer is to, like, stop being so hard on yourself.
I agree. It's self-compassion.
Yeah. I just don't think it's that big of a deal, especially because it seems like this person is expressing that they, like, want to be in this relationship. They want to be, you know, they're just, like, thinking to themselves, could the grass be greener on the other side? And I think that one of the best things my therapist, my couples therapist ever said is that, you know, once there's something that comes in that is like a breach of trust, if something happens and it's a breach of trust, know that even if the person is over it or they feel better, those breaches come up, and it could be 5 years from now, it could be 10 years from now, you know, it could be forever. So depending on like whatever happened with this person in their relationship, it's totally normal, in my opinion, my unprofessional opinion, to think that, you know, there's always, you know, there's a little bit of a creeping doubt, or, and I don't think there's ever going to be a situation where you're not thinking that the grass might be greener. I think that's a saying for a reason. People, you always think that. But it sounds like you do really value what your relationship is. Like you've spoken to that. You've spoken to valuing that relationship. So I think the real thing here is to just stop thinking, especially if you're going to be together forever, quote unquote. It's really hard to imagine that you would never think like, what would happen if I had met somebody else or with somebody else? Like, I just kind of think that's unrealistic. Yeah, and why not fantasize?
Isn't that a wonderful part of life, is that you don't have to make an actual decision or deal with the actual responsibilities of real life, but you could just fantasize about it? Mm-hmm. I saw a great, I saw a great meme where it was like, three different categories that you could check, and one was single taken, and the third was mentally in a relationship with a fictional character.
Seriously.
And I really love that. And I think she actually is it a she? Because I know that
it just says that they respond, they refer to people as my and they. So
so we don't know if this person is a she or a he.
Or something
but
else.
I have a sense it could be a female, because a female would feel more, I feel bad about that than a male, because I think we're told that, and I'm speaking heterosexually and binary here, of course, but, or at least binary. I don't know actually if that would be heterosexual or not. I can only speak to that, but, I think men, it's like, oh, they're randy. They're always thinking about other, you know, sexual women and sex and whatever. So I don't know that I think a man would have an issue with this as a woman might, but that's just an assumption. I think they're doing the first step by actually asking this question, because, one of the steps to self-compassion is connecting to common humanity. So getting feedback from other people that, no, that's actually totally normal. That's not a thing. That's not cheating. There's nothing wrong with that. That's totally human. That's going to help them in terms of self-compassion understand that, oh, it isn't something's wrong with me. It's just that I'm human.
Totally. And they said that there's a couple of things that I noticed that they said that they went to therapy, which sounds past tense. So maybe if like you look at this and it's more than what we are talking about, where it's just like a casual, you know, what if I met this rich person with a boat, which is always my thing. It's like, there's going to be some rich dude with a boat, like always. But if that's not like, if it's more than that, right? If you're just like, no, I actually think I'm thinking this. And like, if I'm thinking about it myself, like I do feel like I'm actually unhappy. Because one of the things they said is like, we went to therapy and things should be good. Why can't I be happy? So like, if you're not happy and things aren't good, then I feel like that's a separate issue. That's like not necessarily that you are fantasizing about this imaginary other person. It might just be that your needs are not being met in your relationship. And you maybe want to continue going to therapy, because it sounds like it's a past tense. Like, we went to therapy, but maybe you're not currently going to therapy. So like, maybe there are more issues to be uncovered and worked on.
Maybe.
And that could be something too. But like, if it's seriously just like, you think about this like rando in the future, this like hottie that's super nice and like loves dogs and whatever, I don't know what your fantasy is, but like, you know, if that's really genuinely all that it is, then I would say that this is fine. There is nothing wrong with you.
Yeah, I think it's a huge myth, and this is something that I think is like a huge secret, but I think it's a huge myth that one, like, I think we sort of tend to in our lives focus on the one thing that feels like it's not working, whether it be our career or our relationship or our children or whatever. And if we could just fix that one thing, everything would be fine. Totally. The problem is that there's always one thing like that in our lives. There's never going to be perfection. And so it's more about being content with what's not perfect and seeing it as perfect, just as it is. And so I think that's what this person's doing here, is that there's nothing else going on. So this is what they happen to be picking at.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I think that is like, they listed out all these things like a good marriage and school and this and job and the dog, and we're working on adopting. So,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like a checklist. And so you can always go back to the checklist and find something unchecked. It's not a great way to live our lives, to live by the checklist of everything we think that's supposed to be happening, that's supposed to be acceptable. Again, I think it's, and it's usually in this narrow box of how we're supposed to live our lives, which is so silly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's just about having it be perfect, being unperfect,
totally
imperfect.
And Maggie, the lady who does the human cap, what is it called? Human design.
Human design.
The lady who does human design, she posted something really interesting about herself on Instagram like yesterday. And she was saying like she hasn't been posting a lot on social media because she's expecting twins. And so she's just been like, you know, I'm just like exhausted. And so she's like, but part of me feels like I'm not being successful because I'm not doing something. And so like, maybe that's a little bit of this too, is sometimes your life just feels too okay, too good, too settled. And maybe you feel like because you're not constantly in motion, moving to fix something that.
Then you stop growing. Right. And I can tell you as an Enneagram one, that is the biggest fear, is that I will stop growing. That is so important for an Enneagram one. and for other personalities too, but I really relate to that. Yeah, that's true.
I think that all, like, the more that I learn about Enneagrams is I think that there's like, they all have these different reasons that, like, yours is as a one to stop growing. I was reading something about twos, and theirs is that, like, if they stop doing things, then people will stop needing them. So there's this want to be needed. I don't, like, threes have a fear that if they're not constantly doing something, they're going to be failures. They're not going to be successful. I don't know much about fours and fives, but I'm sure it's something. And I know as a six, like, for me, I'm always
four is about creativity. So it would be, you'd stop being creative would be my guess for a four. Five is all about, intellect. So maybe, you know, something about not growing intellectually, not continuing to learn. That would be my guess.
I mean, I don't know, but I don't know. I don't think I know very many fours and fives. So I'm just like, I know some,
so I can tell you, like, that's my best guess about four. Cause fours are like loners, but they're very, very creative people. So I think that would be about not. And actually it's funny, cause I think I know someone right now exactly who said that, like, creativity is so important and they're worried about that right now. And then five, it's all about, it's the thinker, right? Five's the thinker, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that would be intellect, like learning would be what would the fear would be, I would think.
Okay. So I guess if we're like, if people are genuinely curious, I'm going to look it up. So core fear for four would be being inadequate, emotionally cut off, plain, mundane, defective, flawed, insignificant. So that would be the core fear of a four. And then I'm going to look up the core fear of a five.
So similar to creativity.
Yeah, like they just don't want to be basic bitches. Got it.
Yeah, basically.
And I mean, that's fine. I don't mind at all. Like, that seems pretty safe for me. Let's see. What is a number four's core fear?
You mean number five?
Number five, yes. What's a five's core fear? Oh, this is like a little bit harder to find. Basic fear, it being useless or incompetent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So similar to learning, but yeah, useless or incompetent. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So those are the fears for them, just in case anybody was curious, for, because I didn't really know. So that's what it is. If you are a four or five, that might be your core fear. But anyway, I think that every, like, in a six is like, you, so they probably keep doing things so that they're not mundane or that they're not incompetent. They're like continuously learning, continuously creating. And for a six, like, we just fear like instability. So like, if you don't want to be unstable, you have to keep doing stuff. So, and I'm sure sevens and eights and nines have their shit. I know one seven, I know an eight, I know a few eights, and I know one nine.
I mean, seven would be like, you stop having fun, right? Cause sevens are all about fun.
I think that, so like, I follow some Enneagram thing online. And it says that is their, like, that is the stereotype of a seven, but not necessarily true. Okay, okay, guys. So guess we're just going to do all of them now since we're on this track. So a core fear of a seven would be being deprived, trapped in emotional pain, limited, or bored. Missing out. So that is their core fear. So they are
FOMO.
Literally FOMO. A basic fear of an eight is that they are going to be controlled or hurt by other people. And a fear of a nine, just in case we're all wondering, so the last one, we've gone through them all, Is the fear of being in conflict, tension, yes, or discord, yes, feeling that shut is... out and overlooked, and also losing connections with others. So
that totally makes sense.
Just in case you all want to just an impromptu Enneagram session, those would be your core fears. But we all have like these fears. And so like, I think we act in these ways where we're like, mm-hmm. we need to constantly keep moving to make sure that these fears don't come to reality. So, you know, that is probably what this person feels like, is that like maybe they're a seven, right? Maybe they fear that if they're not constantly like feeling a certain way, that they might be missing out on something great in the future. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways to think about it. But ultimately, what I think is that even if you're not a seven, we all fear like FOMO. I kind of think like if I don't look for a job every day, there's going to be like a perfect job that I'm not finding, because that's like what I'm fixated on. And for you, maybe not you, but this person in the question, maybe you're focused on your relationship right now because you were in therapy, you did have issues. And so maybe your fear is that if you settle into this relationship and you keep going, you might be missing out on somebody in the future. And that might be a fear of yours. But I kind of think that having these fears on some level is totally normal. But I think figuring out why that's like how you feel, maybe thinking about it yourself, maybe some individual therapy could help.
Yeah, I agree.
Those are all my thoughts. Do you have any other thoughts for this person who should not feel bad? There is nothing wrong with you.
No, I think we covered it.
Awesome. Okay, well, that was a quick one. A little over 15 minutes. Guys, thank you so much for listening. I have been forgetting to say this all 2021.
Like and subscribe.
Yes, like and subscribe. Leave us a review. I've had some friends reach out to me and say that the audio quality is bad sometimes, that they cannot hear me sometimes. So like, if you're listening to this and you have negative thoughts, just let us know. Probably we won't but don't do write anything a review about it.
Just tell us privately.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't possibly know. Yeah, but truly, all
but actually what you said is true. We probably
I'm not going to do anything about it, but I'm curious to know.
But we really want to encourage your voice.
Yeah, it's like that's what this podcast is all about, is like I want to hear what you say, but then I'm probably unless it's like I feel the need to change it, but I probably won't. So, but thank you. Anyway.
At least we're transparent, right?
Yes, I'm very honest.
That could be a review.
I'm not willing to do too much.
Iris and Jamie are transparent.
Yes. It's a free podcast and there's no ads.
Right. This is true. If you want to fund us, then maybe we will consider making some change.
Faux show. If you want to write me a letter and be like, Iris and Jamie, I want to be your Patreon so that you have better quality audio. I'm down. I'm willing to do it, but I can't.
Yeah, but
it
you
for
have
free.
No creative. Creative say.
No, you just can, but I will invest in actual recording instead of doing it on my phone. So anyway, guys, talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.